Well, from my family to yours, from our church staff to yours, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm so glad you're here in church, just worshiping the name of Jesus. And it's been a great service so far. Amen. Hey, you know, throughout the service, what we've been doing is we've been looking at some older nostalgic images of Christmas. And so I thought I would start today by showing you an older image of me around the age of 10 at Christmas. And for those of you that normally come to CCV, you know sometimes I can give cat lovers a hard time. And so if that's you, this could be my Christmas gift to you. This is me around the age of 10. Yes, that's me holding a cat. You could say snuggling with a cat. Some of you are like, I knew it. I knew that guy loves cats secretly. Actually, I don't, okay? What happened is, growing up, my mom, she was an animal lover. We had cats and dogs. And what happened over time is cats and I grew apart, okay? Because, I mean, just look at those eyes. You can see, what I realized is dogs love you, cats tolerate you. That's tolerance. And so, Merry Christmas to you, you know? So, what I want to do this Christmas is much more serious, and I think much more important. I want to ask everyone here a question. I want you to answer with gut-level honesty. And here's the question. How close do you feel to God? Like right now, how close do you feel to God? And if you feel close, hey, that's awesome. What I know, though, is that many of you feel distant. You feel far from God. The stats say that about 90% of us believe in God, but so many of us at certain times in life, we can feel far from God. And if that's you, there's no judgment. I think all of us have been there. And the reasons we get there, they're so varied, aren't they? At times, the reason we get there is because we get skeptical. You know, maybe you grew up in church and, you know, you kind of got the churchy answers, but you went to college or later in life, intellectually, you hit some road bumps, or maybe you even were at a church and you experienced some church hurt, and so you kind of walked away. For others of us, the issue that drew us away from God is just pain. We've experienced pain. We want an answer to that age-old question, which is, how could a good God allow what happened to me or what I see around me? And that's just distanced you from God, honestly. Others of us, it's very different the reason we feel distant from God. And that would maybe be, for you, it would be some shame. You've kind of messed up in your life a lot of times, and you know you had that addiction, or you hurt those people, or you know what you did. And so you just kind of thought to yourself, how could God want to be close to me? And so you've just distanced yourself from God. Hey, others of you, your distance from God would simply be because you say, I don't need God. Like, I got money, I've got the house, I got the vacations, and so I don't even need them. Hey, I'm no dummy. I've been at this for a long time. There's a lot of you in the service right now. The only reason you're here is because a mom or a grandma or someone else that you love said, all I want for Christmas is my family to be in church with me, right? And so here you are, you know? And you don't pray very often, but you're praying right now that I don't go very long in this service, right? Because you got to get out of here. You got things to do. And I get it. But I'm so glad you're here, because here's why. I believe God doesn't have you here by accident. And I want, if you feel far from God, especially those of you who feel far from God, no matter the reason, I want to issue you a challenge this Christmas. For the next 15 minutes, that's about how long I'm going to go. If you come to CCV, you know our services are never long. But for the next few minutes, I want to challenge you. Would you just open your heart and open your ears to whatever God would want to say to you? And I believe God has someone here because he wants to transform your life. How do I know that? Because Christmas is the story of how far God would go to draw near to you when you feel far from him. And the way I want to show you that this Christmas is I want to look very specifically in Scripture at the Christmas story of the name God decided to give his son when he brought him into this world. And we know the name, right? Everyone knows the name. It's the name what? Say it out loud. It's Jesus. That's right. All the kids know. We all know. But did you know that Mary didn't give Jesus that name? Joseph didn't give Jesus that name. God is the one who chose that name. Now, when you, for those of you that are parents, you know when you found out you were going to have a child, you're going to bring a child into this world, you spend a lot of energy trying to figure out, what should I name this kid? And you want it to have meaning, right, the name. You don't want to mess it up. Like, for example, this is just free advice today. Like, if you were having a boy, I would say, don't name your boy a girl's name. If you're new to CCV, my name's Ashley, right? Now, my mom didn't mess my name up. You know what she did? My mom named me after her favorite movie, Gone with the Wind. How many of you seen Gone with the Wind? Just let me see hands. Not a whole lot of you. I've never seen the movie. To this day, I've never seen the movie. But there was an actor in the movie named Ashley that she loved, and she loved the movie. So that's how I got my name, which got me thinking. I was like, man, if I was born in the 2000s, could you imagine? Like some of the famous movies in the 2000s, I could have been named Thor. I could have been named Maximus. I could have been named Maverick. But I got Ashley. I want you to know that when God decided to name his son Jesus and send him into this world, that name was very specific. The big idea I want you to see this Christmas is the name Jesus. His name describes what he does. Watch this if you want to follow along in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is the angel God sent to Joseph, and watch the command he gives Joseph. He says, she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name, said out loud, Jesus. God named Jesus. Now, what's amazing is when you look at the meaning of Jesus' name, man, it should make light bulbs go off in your mind. Here's what the name Jesus means. The name Jesus is an English translation of a Greek word that is actually originally a Hebrew word. This is what they would have called Jesus when he was born. His name was Yeshua. Everybody say Yeshua. It's not a name we use very often. It's a Hebrew word, and it's a name that combines two different Hebrew words. Watch this. It's the noun Yah, which is short for Yahweh or God, and then that's combined with the verb Yesha, which means to rescue or to save. Yeshua, Jesus, you know what it means? It means that God came to save you. God saves. He gave salvation. Now, that's a strong, meaningful name, right? When I was young, I'll never forget this. I walked into a gas station, and there was a display that had these little cards that said names, and underneath the name, it said what the name meant. And I was so excited. As a little kid, I was searching, where's Ashley? I found Ashley. It was a pink card. I didn't care. I grabbed it. I was so excited. I was like, what's my name mean? And if your name's Ashley, I apologize. This is what your name means. Ashley means dweller near the ash tree clearing. Like it's ash tree meadow. That's literally what my name means. Thank you again, Mom. What I've discovered is that it doesn't matter what my name means. It matters that I understand what Jesus' name means. And his name describes what he does. It defines what God wants to do for you. Let's read the rest of the verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus because he will save. He will, Yesha. And some of you are thinking this, save me from what? And the rest of the verse tells us he will save his people, that is us, from their sins, from our sins. Have you ever hit a point in life where you realized you need to be saved from your sins? No matter how good of a person you think you are, do you realize you need to be saved from your sins? I think most of us would agree with what Scripture says in Romans 3:23. It says this, for everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glorious, his standard. In other words, God has a standard and none of us have lived up to it, right? Hey, forget God's standard for a minute. Even if you don't believe in God, you can't even live up to your own standard, right? Like, we have standards we put in place. Have you ever said to yourself, oh, I will never do that again. I'll never drink that. I'll never smoke that. I'll never sleep with. I'll never do that again. And guess what? You did it again. That was your standard. Hey, kids in the audience, how many of you kids have ever told your mom or dad, I will never do that again, mom or dad? And oops, you did it again. We can't even live up to our own standard. But what is God's standard? Don't miss this. God's standard is perfection. He's a perfect God. And heaven's a perfect place. So how do we live up to that standard? We can't. Which means every single one of us, we need a Savior. And when I say every single one of us, I'm talking about me. The pastor needs a Savior. I've told our church before, I, Ashley, have broken all 10 of the 10 commandments. Me, according to Jesus. You're like, you murdered someone? According to Jesus, hey, I haven't murdered someone actually, but according to Jesus, Jesus says, when you really break down that command, if you speak ill against someone, you've broken that command. That's Jesus' standard. All of us, listen, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No matter who you are, no matter how good you think you are, every single one of us, we need a Savior. And that's why God sent his son Jesus to be that Savior. His name describes who he is and what he does. Which means what? The first Christmas, God didn't send Jesus to be in a cradle. He sent him to eventually go to a cross. And the very first Christmas present wasn't Jesus under a tree. The very first Christmas present was God knowing that Jesus would go to a cross to save you. How does Jesus save you? It's very simple. He is the only person in human history that has been sent from God that lived a perfect life. He's the only person that lived a perfect life, which meant when he went to a cross to sacrifice himself for you and for me, and he shed his blood, which became the penalty for our sin in God's eyes, he is the only person to do that. And he's the only person that, get this, 3 days later, rose from the grave after he died to conquer death, to conquer sin, and to give us hope for our lives, right? That's what Jesus does. Man, and every single one of us, we need that Savior, whether you realize it or not. Okay, then why do some of us feel so distant from a God that came to save us? Because we've never accepted him. And why? Because our distance is caused, one reason, it's caused by pride. Some of us here today, you think you can save yourself, and you're trying, and you're chasing everything this world has to offer. And at some point, you better squash, listen, please, squash your pride. Turn to the name above every name. He's the only one that can save. You can't save yourself. The other reason some of us feel distant, remember, is it's actually our shame. Some of us know we've messed up, and so we've just never turned to God. We don't even think God would want us. And you have no idea how much God wants to save you, no matter what you've done. Some of you are like, well, I'll clean up my life first, then I'll turn to Jesus. And I want to tell you, that's not how it works. That would be the equivalent of you drowning in the ocean. You're drowning, the waves are coming over you, and God sends you a lifeline that's Jesus, but you tell God, I'm not going to take the lifeline until I learn how to swim first. God's like, take the lifeline, I'll pull you in, I'll save you, and I will teach you how to swim in this life, how to get over the waves, how to get over the messes of your life. So what do you do with your shame? You give it to Jesus, and he saves you. The other reason some of you feel distant, though, isn't pride or shame. It's your pain. Remember the age-old question, like, well, how could a good God allow all that's happened in my life? And listen, we live in a broken world, and one day we will live in a perfect world. But as long as we live in this broken world, there is pain. And if you feel far from God because of your pain, I want to tell you, God never left you. In fact, he's just waiting for you to turn to him so you can deal with your pain. And the only way to deal with your pain is to give it to Jesus. He is the only one that can satisfy. Because as long as you turn to a pill or a bottle or another relationship or another purchase to deal with whatever emptiness or pain you feel in your life, that will never satisfy. Only Jesus will. Jesus is the only one that can save you. And it's the message of Christmas. Remember the woman's story we heard earlier in the service, who lost her husband just over a year ago? What did she say about her pain? I love this. She said, "What got me through all of it was Jesus. He's been there time and time and time again. His comfort is genuine. You can feel it. You just have to what?" You got to lean into it, which means you have to open your heart and let Jesus in fully, completely. No more 1 foot in, 1 foot out. No more showing up to a Christmas service or an Easter service every once in a while. You got to go all in. One of the most interesting parts of the Christmas story to me is Mary and Joseph with the Savior of the world. Mary's probably 9 months pregnant. They show up to this inn. Do you remember this? There's an inn. They need a place to go. And so they knock on the door. "Hey, it's the Savior of the world knocking. Like, let him in." And this innkeeper looks. This is the Savior of the world. He says, "I have no room for you." And he turns them away. He closes the door. And I just want you to know, that is a picture of where some of you are with Jesus. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's been doing it for a long time. And you keep turning him away. And this Christmas, I want to ask, when are you going to let him in? When are you finally going to let him in? Because if you will let him in, he will change your life, transform it. He's the only one that can. In fact, if you would ask people that have given their life to Jesus in this service right now, "Hey, tell me about that." They would say this, I think. They would say, "It's the best decision I've ever made in my life." In fact, do you know at CCV, God is working miracles right now with people giving their life to Jesus? Just this past year at CCV, we have seen over 9,000 people give their lives to Jesus and be baptized. Is that amazing? That's a miracle. In fact, in the service right now, if just this past year or so you gave your life to Jesus, you're one of those people that got baptized, I want to invite just you right now to turn on your light. You just get out your light. If that was you this past year, you gave your life to Jesus, and just hold it up for us to see. That's a miracle. There's lights. Hey, if you wonder what God could do in your life, if you wonder what God could do, you can come talk to any of us on staff, any of our volunteers. We would love to have a conversation with you. But I would issue a better challenge. Talk to someone who has their light on near you, because they will tell you Jesus saves. He changes. He transforms. It's the best decision they ever made. And if you don't know someone near you or that feels uncomfortable, go talk to someone in your life that you know Jesus has lit up their life. And they're a part of our church. You know, at CCV, we have 18 campuses across our city and state. And we're not a perfect church, but we simply want to come alongside you and help you learn to follow Jesus. This Christmas, I want to issue a challenge to every single person at our church. As you go into 2026, would you keep taking a next step in your faith? Maybe for some of you, that's to start serving or to get into a group or to be more consistent. But for those of you who I've been talking to that you know you feel far from God, I want to issue you a very specific challenge, and here it is. Give me 1 year of your life. Give Jesus 1 year of your life. And what that would mean is you'd say, every weekend I'm in town, I will be in church, I will be at a CCV campus, and I will lean in with Jesus, and I will see what Jesus can do. Now, if 1 year feels too long, give me 3 months. From January to Easter, give me 3 months. You just see what God can do. And what's amazing about the first few months of the year is we have a power pack lineup coming. The first weekend in January, if you come to CCV, you're going to get a booklet that looks just like this. We're going to start a series on the first book of the Bible, Genesis. This booklet will help you walk through it. We're going to go through this in the series, the whole entire book. It's going to be amazing. And then right when we wrap up with Genesis, leading up to Easter, we're going to go through the last book of the Bible, Revelation, to get you prepared for the end times. It's going to be a great couple series. So I want to invite you back, but I want to issue you a challenge. You got to make a change for 2026 if you want 2026 to change. Jesus, the name above every name, the name one day every one of us will bow to, give him your life. His name describes what he came to do. And right now I want to invite our whole entire church. Let's all turn our lights on. Let's sing about Jesus that came to save. And let's let our lights in this next song be a representation of what God could do if all of us would let Jesus light up our life. Imagine what our city would look like. Merry Christmas, CCV. I love you so much. I can't wait to see you in 2026.